Medicine, thank you for the opportunity to speak to the IR. Very much. The Medicine Parsha says that Ein Divrei Torah Niknes Elavim Shemesim Atzmai Hefker K'midbar. To be Hefker like a Midbar. The Eitz Yosef says that the idea is you have it's a reflection of your Anova. That you have to, I'm not important, I'm not significant, and only if you have Anova are you able to learn Torah, because Ein Habay Shalimit. If you're not going to have Anova, you're going to not do whatever it takes to go ahead and learn. He adds that even for the person who's teaching Torah, the Rebbe, he also has to have that inyan of Midbar. He has to be humble, because I'm going to waste my time with these people? It's not the Bakovetic for me. No, so you have to be like a Midbar, humble. That's what he says. Maybe there's another shot. Earlier in the Medrash gives a mashal to Kabbalah Satoru B'Midbar. Medrash says there was a king who was coming to set up a capital city. And he first went to one Medina and the people ran away. He came to another Medina to set up. They ran away. He comes to the Midbar and the people in the Midbar were he came to a Hurva. He came to a place that was in ruins, a ruined city, and they were Mekali Simon, please set up your city here. And the Melech said, this is where I want to set up my government. This is where I want to establish my Malchus. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah by the Yam. Hayam Rav Ayamas. The Yam ran away. He wanted to give it Baharim, Baharim Raktu Ke'elam. He comes to the Midbar. Oh, we're happy to go ahead and take it. A Midbar, a Hurt. What's the Vart? Maybe the Vart is that Kabbalah said, why did the citizens of the other Medinas or the established cities run away? Because for them, Avada, a king coming here, everything will be new, brand new buildings, it'll be beautiful, the city will be polished, but everything's going to change. The street signs are going to change. The rules, the municipality, all the agreements and all the rules, everything's going to change with the king coming here. We're going to have to take upon ourselves his malchus. They didn't want to change, and therefore they ran away. When he came to the Hurva, the people who had nothing to begin with, they're starting from a clean slate, they're the ones who say, oh, we're willing to go ahead and take this on us, even though it'll mean change, because they know that we have to be willing to change, and you can only be willing to change if you don't have everything preconceived, if you don't start with your original hanachas and all of your shitas. Maybe Kabbalah Satoru is not just inputting 613 lines of code into your operating system, it's reformatting the hard drive and starting all over. And that's really the godless of Nasa V'Nishma versus what the Goyim said, Maksiv Ba. You know, we all know the Chazal. When did the other Amim lose their ability to be a Kabli Torah? Some will say the minute once we said, Nasa V'Nishma, we take it, they're out of the running. Others will say the minute they said, Maksiv Ba Leisirtzach, it's not for us. But many Sfarim say that they lost their Shaychus to Torah the minute they asked Maksiv Ba. Because Lu Yitzur, they would have been told things that they were happy to hear. Don't kill, don't steal, eat nice, healthy, kosher food, have days off, be charitable to others. Wow, that's a beautiful way to live. I'm going to take that. That's not Kabbalah Satara. That's not Kabbalah's Adnus. That's you with your lifestyle, the way you think life ought to be. The Torah doesn't impact or, you know, cram my style. Go, it's not... It's not a spirit to what I like. I'm willing to go along with it. But that's accepting Torah on your terms. Not because you're willing to change no matter what it takes. They lost their shaychus to Torah the minute they asked Maksiv Ba, because that shows they're only willing to take it on their terms and they're not willing to start all over anew like we were when we said Nasa V'Nishma. We don't know what we're going to go ahead and get into. You see the same thing in an interesting way in Rus. Pasuk says, when she's going to Boaz's field, Pasuk says, four words, Vatelach, Vatovai, Vatalake Basada. She went, she returned, came back, and she collected in the field. I mean, it should say, we would think it should say, Vatelach, she went, Vatalake Basada, and then she came back. You don't, I mean, Chazal, Rashi brings the Medrash, that Adeloy Osis Bosis, before she got there, she's coming back already. So there is a pshat that, I don't know if it's the Bali Musa, there is a nice Hesber, it's not what Chazal say. There is an interesting Hesber, that what's the smartest thing to do? If you're going collecting leka, chikha, peya, whatever it is, you go into a field, you see something, you hop it, you pick it up. You see a little more, you pick it up. As you go into the field, you keep hopping and adding to your pile. And by the time you get to the end of the field, and assuming there's no exit on the other side, you walk back out, you're schlepping a whole big thing. The smarter thing to do is to go in or clear through to the end. And then walk your way back out collecting. Why won't the person do it? Because they don't have emunah. They don't trust that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them. If I wait till I get to the end and walk back out, making it easier on myself, you know, the other nemushas, you know, the other people are going to take it away from me. Her vatelech, she went into the field. Vatavoy, she went all the way in. Vatavoy, she came back. And on the way back, Vatalakit Besada, Swarm say it's a reflection of her Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi brings from the Medrash that what happened is Vatelach, she went to the field and laid a trail of breadcrumbs. She was Mitzayin Es Haderach. And then Vatovay, once she marked her path, she walked back out, checking all the way back, I guess, to Naomi, to make sure she knows how to get there and back. Once she knew, Klor, I know how to get there, I know how to get back, then a second time, she went and Vatalakit Basada. So it's a good uptaich, that's what Rashi brings from the Medrash, it's a good taich in the words. But why do we have to know this? Why do we have to know what she did, that she went a second time? So I heard once from Rabbi Daniel Pransky, he's a Rosh Kailul in Atlanta, said, what this shows you about Rus is her state. This shows you something very significant about Rus. She is a person who left nothing to chance. She's a person who, I got to know where I'm going to go. I got to know how to get there. I don't know if it's anxiety. It's like, I must know what's going to be in my life. It's like the yeshiva bacha, the night before he's going on a shidduch in a new city. He'll drive to the girl's house and then from there to the hotel to, you know, just to make sure he knows how. That's who Rus was. Rus was a person who could leave nothing to chance. And it's that same Rus who can't live without knowing what's going to be, who has to know and is uncomfortable any other way. She's willing, happened before, to say, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I'll sleep wherever you sleep. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'll go wherever you're going to go, because that's what Kabbalah Satoru requires, to get out of your comfort zone. To the other people in the established cities didn't want it, because it's going to change everything. You have to start from the Hanocha that I'm a Midbar, that I'm a Churva without this, and anything else is only an improvement, no matter what it's going to change in my life. You see this maybe one other interesting place. Gemara and Shabbos says, two memras, several, but two, in succession from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'll call Dibra v'Dibra Shiyotzim Epiyah Gvor Kovtzi Porchanush Masim Shel Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down the Tal and Shmachaya Mesim. And they did it again. Right, we died. Next memra in the Gemara is, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'll call Dibra v'Dibra Shiyotzim Epiyah Gvor Kovtzi Yisroel Lachareim Yud Beis Mil V'Hayim Alachar Shorts Medadid in my son. So stam this, Akasha, make up your mind. Were they nifter, or did they turn tail and run? How do you have it both ways? Sfasemis, I think, says, Sfasemis, I remember it being Alashas, he says that they're both true, but it depended on the intensity of your Kabbalah. In other words, we see from the Gemara that hearing the Dvar Hashem will overwhelm your system, it will kill you. I think Sfasema says, there were some people, Hagan, we had all said Nasa before Nishma. We all want it. But when it came to hearing the Dvar Hashem, which will overwhelm you, they kept their Zonerland. They kept their, on a computer. They kept their, what's the thing that protects you? They kept their force field up. They kept their firewall up and did not allow the words to penetrate. Others, they took it and were willing to hear the Dvar Hashem no matter what it did for them. Therefore, for some people, parchu nishmasim, they let it enter, they lowered their firewall, it overwhelmed them, they died. And Hashem was mechayim esa. Others, says the Sfas Emes, they said nasa v'nishma, but they held back a little bit and they didn't allow the words to penetrate, and therefore didn't kill them, but they they ran away in terror. And that, I think, he says, is why Shavuos is called Zman Matan Tarasenu, not Zman Kabbalas Tarasenu. Because the one thing that happened uniformly, equally for all of us then, was the fact that the Torah was given to us equally. We're all offered the Torah the same way. But the Kabbalah of Torah was an individual Kabbalah. My Kabbalah might have been different than yours, reflective of the fact that some people Kavtzu Yisrael Kavtzu, and some people Parchu Nishmasim. But apart from that, Sfas Emes is another word that shows the same idea, that you have to be willing to start all over. Vus Epis Kavtzu Yisrael Achareim Yud Beis Mil, which, yes, is the area of Machne Yisrael. But why do we have to know Yud Beis Mil? So I saw in a sefer, someone Weinfeld, I don't remember his first name. He says, "Amir the Kazakh." We all understand the concept of personal space. If you want to make someone else uncomfortable, you move in on them too close, and it puts them at a disadvantage. Halacha recognizes, in another regard, personal space. Arba amah shalotim kainis lai. Then there's a greater amount. There's alpayim amah, where you can be kainis shvisa. I'm not there. I'm here, but it's as if I'm there. I have shaychus to something that's up to alpayim amah away from me, and I can go from there another alpayim amah on Shabbos. But then you have the shear of Yud Beis Mil, which according to all shitas is Tchum D'Oraisa, where that is beyond anywhere you can go. Something that is Yud Beis Mil away, you have zero shaychus to. It's completely unconnected to you. He says, the Pele Yayit says, Vus Epis was it that Parchu Nishmasim? Why did that have to occur? Yeah, Poshut Pshat is because, you know, that's just the Metzias. Hearing the Dvar Hashem will kill you. I mean, Pusik says, seeing Hashem will kill you. It doesn't say it about hearing. Pele Yayit says that they had to experience Parchu Nishmasim because they had to learn that ein divrei Torah miskeyemes el b'misha meimis atzmi aleha. They had to experience what Kabbalah Satorah requires in order to go forward with that. So that's Peliyoy. It says this, Rabbi Weinfeld, that's the pshat why Kavtzu Yisrael Achareim Yud Beis Mil. Just like they had to learn, you have to be willing to meimis atzmi aleha, however you touch that up. They also had to learn that you have to be willing to abandon and give up everything that you've had till now, leaving all of your earlier shitas, your way of living completely behind. And that is reflected in the fact that they were cut to Yud Beis Mil, a shear at which point a person has no kesher and no connection at all. So it's all the same idea. To be Mekabel Torah, we have to be willing to give up whatever we came from. We have to be willing to start as a midbar, hefker, with a clean slate. Should I stop now? One more minute? I don't know. One minute. Just unrelated, I saw a week ago an interesting word from Kajan Tzemagin, interesting aura, the second Mishnah, I think, in Perakinyan Torah, not Mishnah, Brisa, in Perakinyan Torah. Says that Baskel's Yaitza Mahar Chayriv, Eilehem Librius Melbaina Shel Taira, and anyone who's not Isaac and Taira, it's as if they have a Nezem Zahav Ba'ab Chazir. I don't remember the end of the Pasuk, another half of the Pasuk. He doesn't focus on that. So he asks a simple kasha. Mamanashach, if you're Isaac and Taira, you have the Nezem Zahav, but it's not Ba'ab Chazir. Obviously, you're doing the right thing. And if you're not Isaac and Taira, you're stam a chazir, like you don't even have the Nezim Zahav. I don't know if that's Shtark Akasha, that's his aura. How could it be that if you're not Isaac and Torah, you So he says, maybe it's a Pashto thing, he says, what you see from here is, the Torah is not something that's external to us. Torah is something that we have in us, we were born with, whether it's the Malach that taught Gemara Nida, the Malach taught us Torah, that's why Torah is a Metziah, Yagata, Metzasa, just like the Zohar says that there are two Chalakim, every Neshama has a Tzad Zachus and a Tzad Nakvus, Kadosh Baruch Hu splits it, one goes into the goof of an Isha, one goes into the goof of a Zohar, and they find one another. That's the Gemara in Kedushin, that it's the Derech of an Ish, Lachser Acher Avedosai, because it's something that you had literally lost. That's why it's Shayach, the Lashon Motza Ish, it's a Metziah. The same thing, Torah is a Metziah. I think, the Nefesh Chaim says, with Yogati Mitzasi, that Torah is something that it's part and parcel of us, says the Kashan Samagid. We have the Torah. We have the Nezim Zahav. The question is, are we going to drag it through the mud, or are we going to use it to elevate ourselves and to make the world a better place?